This is Create the Next from ProCFO Partners, where every week we explore strategies and ideas for financial management and growth to help today's businesses put their financial picture in context.
Welcome back to Create the Next. I'm Chris Bintliff, and Don Gage is back with us today. And Don, I'm looking forward to our conversation because we're talking about managing outside investors. And I like the action word of manage because I think there's a lot to unpack there. It's not just the expectations that they have as investors. It's probably the human element. It's probably personality elements. It's probably how do you manage your own sort of internal sort of characteristics of that in relationship to somebody else. So I think that there's a lot of dynamics that go beyond just make sure that they know what's going on. Do you agree? And welcome back. What do you think is kind of the essence or the core of that managing outside investors?
Right. Well, I appreciate the chance to talk again, Chris. I absolutely agree with you on that. It is an active role. It is managing, controlling the investor relationship. Oftentimes, it would be natural for the CEO, the leader of the company. These are your investors. So they obviously have a very important role in the organization. The company probably would not exist without them. And so it's natural to sort of take that subservient role of like, hey, they're, you know, in the hierarchy, they're higher up than me. I report to them. There is a nature of that. Yes, that is correct. You're reporting to them, but you need, just like with your bosses and whatnot, you need to control that relationship. You need to manage that relationship. It's a two-way street. They have needs, but then you as a leader also have needs. And so you got to find that cadence as to the communication channel that works for both parties. If they're calling you all the time, you are probably not communicating often enough or well enough. Now, there's a flip side to that, because if you have an investor who's calling you all the time, but the other investors aren't, and you've got a cadence and you've got a regular communication channel and it's working well, and historically it's worked well, but you've got an investor who's calling you every day or every other day, that's not the role of the investor. They're trying to get too involved in the business. That's not their role. They hired you or invested in your company for you to lead. And so you have to, obviously, it's a delicate topic, but it's not improper for you to revisit the roles as to what your role as the leader of the company is, which is the day-to-day, and what the role of the investor is. So managing the investor is always, it's an important function. It's a delicate function. It needs to be handled properly, but it does need to be handled. You can't let it just sort of handle itself, because then you don't have control of the situation. And to tell you the truth, the investor probably is not comfortable with that either. I had one, my first CFO role was with a multifamily developer, great person. And so I said to him, hey, how often do we report to the investors? He had a handful of outside wealthy individuals who funded the projects. And his response was, whenever they call. And my first instinct was to think that he might have been joking or teasing me, you know, new person on the team or something like that, but he wasn't. I could have, you know, we had wealthy individuals, and I could just envision them in an airport someplace, you know, a layover between business meetings, flying from one place to the other, and reaching out and calling us to ask on the status of our project. And you know, if they're doing that, they're saying to you vocally, I have a need here that's not being fulfilled. So obviously, you know, I suggested that we change that, and the owner of the company was fine changing that, and the investors greatly appreciated it. And so the cadence that I came up with, which is very common, is a quarterly cadence. That's usually enough, absent an emergency or something like that, for you to report on the status of the investment, the status of the business, how we are with our annual, and to the extent you need to get into it, 3 and 5 year. But on quarterly should be addressing the current year's budget and where we sit on that. There's a time, November, December, in which you take a bigger picture with the investors where you're laying out the 1, 3, and 5 year. But then once you get into the current year, 2024, we're in this now, Your quarterly investor communication should be, how do we sit in 2024, you know, where we want to end up with, you know, if it's a calendar year, December, you know, where are we? Are we on track? And so that goes to, what do you talk to with the investors? You know, what do I tell them about? And again, it's kind of a Goldilocks of too little, too much. Mm. And because you got to respect their time and whatnot. So they're at the 35,000 foot level, and that's where they need to be. All of your investor communications in that quarterly cadence, in that annual year, relates to two things: time and budget. You know, that's especially relevant in real estate, but it's the same thing in all businesses. Real estate, it's easy to understand. You're building a project. And so is it on time? Are we scheduled to deliver the units, the homes, whatever we're delivering, the office building, on time and on budget? But it translates to all businesses. If you're a widget manufacturer, you set out goals that we want to deliver. We want to sell 100 widgets the first quarter. That's a timing cadence. And so it's sort of like, hey, Don, where are we? Are we on time to deliver our 100 widgets? And so you're always reporting the status of the time objectives. And then the budget, the second thing, are we selling the widgets for what we thought? Where is our cost structure? You know, are we on budget there? Understanding that when you get off schedule on time, it almost always will affect the budget. If we schedule to sell 100 widgets in the first quarter and we're only going to sell 80, that tells us, you know, we know what that means. You're going to have less revenues in the first quarter than you thought. You didn't sell as many as you would. So time and budget are interchangeable. And in its essence, that's what any business comes down to in its quarterly reporting, because you set out the objectives in the preceding November, December, for what we wanted to do in 2024. And then what's relevant to that investor in 2024 is, where do we stand in terms of, you know, our buy-in to our 2024 objectives? Where are we on time? Where are we on budget?
You know, so much of what you're sharing almost feels like, you know, a valued, especially maybe in a services organization, but a valued customer relationship. Like, how often are you communicating with that customer? And as you pointed out, that your investor is kind of your customer. As a leader, you kind of have to think of them that way. And I love this simplification of time and budget to help us know, as ever, we talk about this all the time in like any context or any episode, how your reporting has to be on point, no matter what you want to do. And to give us just two easy, and all obviously there's lots of little micro fragments inside of each of those, but if we can just kind of time and budget, that gives us two clear focal points that we can sort of work with. Do you suggest or do you advise like a dashboard? You know, like, here are the eight sort of characteristics or the criteria of time or budget, and you can see what these are in real time, and they're fed by, you know, some other data source so that I don't have to sit and work up a spreadsheet? Or do you like a PowerPoint deck? Obviously, everybody's different, but what's a way that we can sort of make this predictable so that every quarter it's the same thing we're sharing? We can reference the same conversation we had with the same data last time. How do we do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. A dashboard could be fantastic. You know, technology has evolved tremendously. Let's have it be our friend. Let's use it to its capacity. Your investors, you know, will appreciate that because they're moving around a lot. It's probably easier for them to pull up, you know, within the company, a portal that speaks to exactly that. It's, you know, in November, December, Chris, this is what we projected for the business in 2024, again, based on production, based on time and budget. This is how many widgets we thought we were going to sell and produce in each stage of the year, and at what price. And here's the revenues that we projected, and here's what we thought the cost would be, and rolling down to the bottom line. So again, there's that always that interchangeability, that interconnectedness between time and budget. And so to your point exactly, if it's easily translatable, and it would be, to a dashboard, You remind the investors, here's where we thought we would be, and here's where we are. Then, of course, you're going to want a narrative piece on that, because you don't want them to just, there's a story behind that. Hopefully a good story, you know, but there's a story behind that. And that gets into the other part of managing the investor relationship. is your investors are sophisticated. So give them credit for that. And the biggest mistake that people make, they know there's risk to any investment. They know that. They know that despite our best intentions, our best efforts in preparing a budget and the great skill set of the people working there, invariably something is going to come up. It would be great if nothing comes up, but that, you know, that's an outlier. Something is going to happen to take us off of time and budget. So they know that going in and they'll deal with that. It's where you misstep is where you don't address that. And so you handle the almost inevitable. So in our dashboard reporting, we thought we were going to sell 100 widgets, and he can see on the bar graph that it's going to be 80 widgets. What's the story behind that? You know, what is causing that? And more importantly, what's our remedy for it? So for every issue or challenge that you're going to present, and it's almost invariably in a quarter, there's going to be something that you're going to talk about that's a little bit off schedule. Have at least two possible solutions. They might not be the solutions that you end up with. You're opening up the conversation with the investor base as to, you know, here's what's going on and here's two remedies. And some of it is, listen, our pipeline is fantastic. And yeah, we're going to sell 80 widgets this quarter, but we're going to exceed. I have every confidence we're going to exceed and therefore make up for it next quarter. That's good. And or, you know, maybe a shortcoming with it was, I've got questions about our sales manager in the Southeast, you know, and so it's on my radar as the leader of the company, because that's where we're underperforming. Overall, the company is likely going to make up that deficit, but I'm also, even if it makes up the deficit on the West Coast, I'm not neglecting a potential issue in the Southeast, which is potentially an underperforming manager. And so, you know, I had the discussion with the manager, put him on notice. We've established metrics that we need to hit, and I'm going to revisit it in 60 days to see if, you know, a change is necessary. Hopefully not, but it's on my radar. So what are you doing when you're having that communication with the investor? You're telling them that, listen, I'm addressing, because that's your job as the leader of the company, is really to solve the challenges, to set out the goals and strategies of the company, but then to sell the inevitable challenges that come up with. That's not the investor's role. They can be a sounding board. They can be a resource. They might say, hey, if you need to swap out that sales manager, I know a great person. That's a great resource to have, you know, so you performing your role is giving the investor confidence that you've got two hands on the wheels. The inevitable happened is we missed the mark on something, you know, but yet you as the leader of the company are aware of it and have a solution for it. That's what they can live with. You know, that's what they expect, both in terms of the issue. They expect an issue to come up. If all you have is happy talk for them, sounds good to the ear. But again, they're sophisticated. They're going to be like, it has not been my experience that everything goes exactly according to plan. I had a partner once that when I prepared a pro forma, he said, great, now we know what won't happen. Mm. And at first I was like, thanks. But actually it was humorous and it was also exactly right. A pro forma is your best estimate using your historical data as to what's going to happen this year. But again, if I was that skilled in projecting the future, I'd put that to different use in picking lottery numbers, you know. So it's we're not perfect in our projections. They are flawed by nature. And so then our job is to get out ahead of the flaws as quickly as we see them and redirect the car in the direction that's going to get us to where we ultimately want to be.
Create the Next is brought to you by Pro CFO Partners, who believe every business deserves to work with an expert CFO to guide its success. Pro CFO Partners are expert financial officers networked across industries, verticals, specializations, and situations. Fulfilling the role of a part-time CFO with all-time commitment, Pro CFO Partners utilizes the innovative and exclusive FGC Financial Flywheel as a framework that creates momentum to drive your financial functions for sustainable success. Visit ProCFOPartners.com to explore how we can implement a systematic and scalable financial system to help you achieve your goal. ProCFOPartners.com.
You know, part of what you're sharing is really valuable, because I think that there can be a natural inclination to trying to minimize the appearance or the impact of perceived risk. And what you're saying is that's built in. Investors don't need to feel okay about the risk that they took. That's what I'm hearing you say is transparency is essential. And I think that, as ever, comes back to the value and the quality of relationships, right? So trust is at the heart of whatever this is between the leader and the board, between the leader and the investors, between the investors and the vision of the company. Trust is everything else can kind of get thrown out. As long as trust is there, we can build it back. We can build it back up. Yeah,
that's absolutely correct. Once it's lost, trust is very difficult to earn, very easy to lose. And once it's lost, it is probably lost forever. It's extremely difficult to rebuild. It was hard to build in the first place. So the rebuild is nearly impossible. So the mistake that folks make, and it's a natural mistake, is, I don't want to report bad news. Nobody wants to report bad news. Nobody wants to receive bad news. But again, your investors are not children. They're sophisticated adults. They can handle, they expect, they don't want, nobody wants. We want it to be all positive. We want to be, the quarterly report is we're exceeding by, you know, all of our numbers. It's going to be a banner year. That's what they want. That's not what they expect, you know. So, you know, they expect a certain amount of variability between what you projected and what's actually happening. And so what they expect from you of a leader is to know that, to not hide that from them. And again, one problem, two solutions. You know, again, might not be the solutions that you ultimately land on, but at least they say, hey, you thought of it. If I was like, well, Chris, we sold 80 widgets this quarter, we projected 100. Well, what are we going to do about that, Don? I don't know. They're going to be like, what do I need you for? You know, if that's your job as a leader, as to, you know, how are we going to correct that? And sometimes it's like, we're not this year. That's a harder conversation to have. But if that's the reality of it, is the marketplace has shifted on us, and we'll try to make up the bottom line through some cost savings, through some other vents. Maybe we can push price on stuff. But at the end of the day, we don't always hit. Despite our best efforts and our solutions, we might fall short. Again, they know that. They don't want that to happen, but that is a reality of the investment, where you'll fall short and suffer irreparable damage. It is not the missing the widget count number that's going to get you on the permanent outs. It's the not reporting it, not presenting solutions, and the solutions, again, might not occur. So you'll sit there and say, geez, these investors are irrational. I missed the widget number by 20, and, you know, and now I've lost all confidence. That's not why they lost confidence in you. They lost confidence in you because you weren't open and honest with them, and be a leader, lead with it. So that's where the misstep is. Now, how much, you know, transparency, you're absolutely right, with all your stakeholders, employees, investors, you know, depending on how large the company is, the public and whatnot, your consumers. Yeah, I mean, there's too much, you know, to each one of those groups. You don't tell the employees, you can't tell the employees everything. They don't need to know everything. Right. But, you know, that's the delicate balancing act between with your investor, the topic here today, as to how much is too much. They don't, if you stick with the time and budget, then tell them anything that relates to that is directly related to that and would be impactful on that. They don't need to know and want to know the 20 things that you're going to have to do in order to hit that time and budget. They just want to know, we're slightly off kilter. Here's my two big headline solutions to it. Don't tell them the 20 things that need to occur in order for the two headline solutions to happen. Just tell them the two headline solutions. They'll buy into that, says, makes sense, sounds good. I, as an investor, feel comfortable with it. So that's the delicate balance between too much and too little. If you get into the weeds, one, you're not respecting their time, you know, and they don't, it gets to, Don, that's what I hire you for, is the details to make it happen. You know, I don't need to know exactly by day and by hour how you're going to make it. I just need to have the confidence that you're going to make it happen.
And, you know, to an extent, you invite scrutiny on things that you might not be interested in having a bunch of opinions on. If you start to
exactly
20 tiny bullet points,
yeah,
don't be surprised when somebody has a point of view on the 20th bullet point. And so I love your idea of sort of keeping an umbrella. What do you think? So, you know, this relationship between the leader and the investors is crucial. The leader, as we've talked about 1,000 times, must be surrounded by competent, capable individuals to help shape that vision and then execute on it. What is the role of the CFO in this whole conversation where outside investors are concerned? Is it more linear to the leader and then, you know, you be responsible for your part of the dashboard? Is there an impact on the relation, like feedback or guidance on the investor relationship at all, or if we should, or when we should? Where does that connect?
Yeah, it's critical to both sides. Prepping your leader for that board presentation, and almost invariably the CFO will be in that meeting because sometimes you will need to get into the weeds of it. But as you can imagine, a big part of the CFO's role is dealing with the investor relationship, sourcing new capital, making sure the capital you've sourced is happy, whether it's debt or equity, because this all translates to your financing providers as well. You know, all capital providers, this whole conversation relates to. So you've got your equity and you've got your debt providers. And so the CFO role is really 1A, the CEO owner of the business is one. And in these conversations, right on par with that, and the 1A position is the CFO leading that charge. It's really the CFO's responsibility to make sure that we're on time and on budget, and to the extent that we're not, to be an integral team player in formulating those solutions behind it as to how do we get back on time and budget? How do I reach out to the resources in the company to solve this solution? So because we've got a reporting either to our capital providers, whether they're debt or equity, or just to the CEO. You know, that's your first reporting. Is obviously there can't be any surprises to the CEO. So, you know, you're doing this reporting to them. And then in that, it's like, okay, how and when do we report this to the board? And that, as a good CFO knows, you know, is this an extraordinary meeting? Is this something that this gets more into the emergency situation because it would be extremely impactful on the health of the business? That's not a wait till the next quarterly meeting to that sort of thing. So the CFO plays largely the principal role in this communication with the capital providers.
And as ever, if you are either without a CFO or without a CFO with these particular skill sets or in need of a complementary skill set so that your relationship with these investors can be more sound or even more productive, more fruitful, that's a sweet spot for the fractional CFO, which is what we do at ProSafe Partners. But that's one of the benefits that you might not realize is sort of key to the opportunity. There is having that brain in the room that can help you communicate the things that the investor needs and wants to know. Even just as you've shared today, the strategic attitude around, well, here's what we want to share and know. Just your guidance in this conversation, I'm imagining it across the table from an executive leader saying, so hang on, I looked at what you usually communicate and you're in the 20th bullet point. We don't want that. We want high level. Just reshaping that conversation is pretty valuable.
Yeah, I mean, to any business, your capital providers are critical. Your debt and equity sources, you know, it's a big part of fueling the growth part of the business. It got you into business and then it's fueling the growth. Your operation side of it, you know, the profitability is great and can provide some fuel to the growth. But to the extent that you have large growth expectations, which usually most companies and businesses do, you're going to need to utilize outside capital, additional equity or debt financing. So it's not just a matter of putting those in place. That's hard, but then maintaining them, because you can't have a fracture in that relationship, because if it was hard the first time, it's more than two times hard the second time. And so having a good, healthy relationship with your capital providers is critical. And so if you're a company that is out there and you're getting sources of capital, which is virtually every business, you know, equity or debt, you have some need of a CFO because this is a critical part of the health and growth prosperity for any business is maintaining that relationship. And most owners don't come into that ownership role, you know, most CEOs and whatnot, depending on the size of business, with necessarily with that skill set or maybe as deep of that skill set as they might need. And so it's an invaluable partner. We all think of the CFO kind of in our day job, if you will, of what we're doing. And this is, you know, this is part of the day job, but it obviously doesn't happen daily. So it might not be top of mind to a CEO, an owner of a company, president of the company, in terms of, you know, why they would need somebody like us, a fractional CFO. But it is vitally important. And, you know, hopefully they don't get in this position. But when they find that they have a lack of capital providers, that's when they're going to, you know, realize that they need a special expertise that we provide.
Don Gage is a managing director at ProCFO Partners. And Don, I love when we have conversations that are full of practical and actionable stuff. Do this and don't do that. And you've really given us a lot today to think about. And I think there's more to talk about. So I'm looking forward to having you back and we can continue to unpack some of these investor dynamics. I think they're essential. And I think that you've only given us more to think about, which is always great in these conversations. Yeah. Thanks for everything.
No, I enjoyed it. I appreciate your time today, Chris, and I look forward to continuing discussions.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening, and a special thanks to our subscribers. Consider becoming one today. Visit procfopartners.com and learn how we can help you build a framework for financial management and growth.